Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to KC. No D'Lo today. He's in Disneyland. You know what? You know, we're gonna have Damian Barling of D'Lo and KC was down in Disneyland this weekend with Katie from the Wake Up Call.
Yep.
And Katie came in here on
Was it Friday? Yeah.
Katie came in here on Friday to do a whole bit about it. And they're gonna come in tomorrow to do like a recap of the trip. Based on social media, Damian had the time of his life.
I have texts with him, and he is over the moon. Not only is he like, I can't believe how amazing this is, but he sent me a video of him walking up to the Haunted Mansion.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, he's like, this is the coolest thing ever. And then I'm like, yeah, it's super, like, it's amazing, especially this time of year because they do the whole Jack thing. He's like, I will be buying the 13-foot Jack. So I started sending him like the link to purchase, which is like it's like $400.
It's not cheap.
Yeah. No, it's not. And you can only buy it one place. Mm-hmm. And they're always out of them. But mm-hmm. they somehow had them in stock. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're in stock. Here you go. But shout out to John Bull, who has been John Bull and I share the affinity for these giant, ridiculous, Nightmare Before Christmas. Like animated creatures that we own.
Sure.
But yeah, it's definitely cool to see Damian kind of like see something different and like glob onto it. Like, oh, this is amazing.
I did get a text yesterday, 10:18 a.m.
Mm.
We haven't even made it to Disneyland yet, and this is so much fun.
Oh yeah.
Is there a California Adventure first?
Well, Katie is a blast. I mean, she's just like
she's a
wild card.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who may not be a wild card? The San Francisco 49ers, they keep playing this way, James. I got to tell you, they lost to the Arizona Cardinals 24-23 yesterday, led by 13 points at halftime, led by 10 points in the fourth quarter. Did not matter. I'm just going to start talking about things I was disappointed in yesterday.
Yeah.
I finally reached the point where I'm just like, Brock Purdy is that dude. Brock Purdy is just good at football.
Mm-hmm.
He was ass yesterday. Maybe even he might have been a two-pack of ass yesterday.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
That's a lot.
He missed the first two throws of the game. He missed these deep outs where it looked like a undrafted rookie in a preseason game. He made a couple of nice throws for sure, but the scrambling around the hero ball, like, it's got to stop. It has worked at times. He had one yesterday where he rolled out to the left and then had to scamper back and he gets 11 yards on a 2nd and 6. First down, okay, that's cool. He's extended some plays. Again, no doubt.
And then they tell us on the telecast, he just ran 67 yards.
Right, running 67 yards to get four.
Four.
Like, what is the... I get it's a necessity sometimes, and having that club in his bag makes him a good player.
Mm-hmm.
It is part of what makes him a good player. The reliance on it is getting frustrating, and I think it's one of the problems with the 49ers offense right now. Is I don't know if it's how teams are defending them, I don't know if it's because Kyle Shanahan isn't great at designing a drop-back passing game, but it is way too often that he sits in a clean pocket and then starts to bail out one way, and then, oh gosh, got to go the other way. And now he's scrambling around. It's like, dude, get rid of the ball. Yeah. What happened to the check down to the running back? So instead of second and or third and 10, you've got a third and 4.
The running back got hurt and isn't there anymore.
You're telling me Jordan Mason.
I'm just saying.
You're telling me Jordan Mason. No, but I know you're joking.
Yeah.
But like, I think that's kind of like the problem. You're telling me Jordan Mason can't run out into the flat and turn around and put his hands up and catch the ball and fall forward for a few yards?
Yeah, that's, you have got to use it, man. I'm telling you, it's not, yes, losing Christian McCaffrey is huge.
Obviously.
But it's the threat of him as much as it is the productivity of him that you're missing, because Mason has been phenomenal. Like the fumble, yeah, bad move.
Yeah, notwithstanding.
But everything else that he's done has been absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He's got the most rushing yards by any 49ers running back in the first 5 weeks of the season ever.
Crazy.
Right? So this guy is doing his job. The problem is that no one fears him. And I kind of relate it to the Keon Ellis situation. Keon Ellis is a very, very good three-point shooter. But he doesn't draw the same attention that Kevin Herter draws. He's even a better numbers-wise three-point shooter than Kevin Herter. But no one respects Keon Ellis the way they respect Kevin Herter, because number one, he's done it longer, but also Kevin Herter runs all over the place. He's always a threat from anywhere on the court, where Keon Ellis is a threat as a catch-and-shoot option for somebody, right? So there's just a different way. And that's the same exact way that I feel like Mason, like, great runner, I think, and he's getting, he's starting to show burst and mm-hmm. get further and further, you know, his...
Yeah, 34-yard run yesterday, yeah, longest of the year.
Yeah, like, so it's happening where he's starting to show more of his speed and quickness mm-hmm. once he breaks out of the pocket, once he breaks out of the backfield. But you don't worry about him in the passing game. And so all the attention is on other people, and they're taking their linebackers, and as opposed to having a linebacker shadow McCaffrey out of the backfield, they're just not doing that. And so that linebacker is going into the middle of the field, and he's running amok. And so that's, I mean, I think a lot of it is just like not having this type of player and not having another player that's anything like him, which is like, who has another McCaffrey?
No, right. He's a very unique player, and I understand that changes some of the things the Niners can do offensively. I'm with you. I got it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the only running back in the league that catches passes. Like, he's not the lone guy who can do this thing. We saw it yesterday. Jordan Mason had a 9-yard catch where Purdy drops back. He's next to Purdy in the gun. He runs through the middle of the line, turns around, and puts his hands up.
Sat down.
Catch, falls forward, 9 yards. Now you're in second and one instead of second and nine had Purdy scrambled around or taken a sack. Like, one of the biggest plays in the game yesterday was the Niners had a second and nine deep in the red zone. Juwan Jennings false start, moves him to second and 14. The next play was a... incomplete pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next play on third and 14, Purdy scrambles around and takes a sack to get to fourth and 23. I guess it was third. So it was the second down he scrambled around and took the sack, because they had third and 23, then fourth and 23.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, that can't happen in that spot, man. Especially when you know you don't have a field goal kicker. You're taking yourself out of field goal range at that point. It's just, it's a nice club to have in his bag, and it's part of the reason that he's been so successful. But I don't understand this like adherence to it and this reliance on it, when so much of what this offense was just last year was like, hey, Purdy's going to take the easy throw. He's going to take this check down. You can still look deep. You can still scramble around. You can still extend plays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for sure. But it can't be, it's like once every 3 times he drops back.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's indecisiveness. I don't know if it's the offense. I don't know if it's how they're being defended. But like, this adjustment's got to happen, because whatever it is that's going on isn't working. And I think it's an underutilization of Jordan Mason, to be honest.
No, I think it's an underutilization of that position, of the running back position, yeah, as a backfield pass catcher. And if you're not really all that comfortable with Mason, then maybe send Juszczyk out into the route a little more often, where you at least have some, you know, some familiarity. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's a problem here that we talked about this a lot last year, early in the season. I picked on Brock Purdy a bunch because he'd only throw to like three guys, mm-hmm. or he only throw to four guys. Mm-hmm. Target, 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 target. This week, 8 catches for 147 for Ayuk. He's absolutely amazing, mm-hmm. right? Ayuk finally has his breakout game. George Kittle, 8 catches for 64 yards. 1 catch for Jennings, 1 catch for Debo, 1 catch for Mason, and those guys total 33 yards. And that's where I start to look at this and go, okay, you've got to be looking around, scanning the field. I don't think that Brock Purdy is a game manager. And I think that's what we're seeing more and more. I think he's more of a risk taker. He's more as a guy that likes to go for the intermediate to long route more than a lot of people are comfortable. They don't have a go blow the top off the defense, you know, mm-hmm. deep threat. But I think that what we're seeing here is that he likes to live in this specific range, and he keeps feeling like that range. And like what you said, he didn't even notice Kittle. He wasn't even looking at Kittle when he got hit and mm-hmm. the ball got intercepted, right? Mm-hmm. He was looking further downfield. It's like, that's fine, but you probably should have just hit Kittle for 12 yards and just moved on.
Yes.
And I think there is this, it's a good thing to have a quarterback who's always looking downfield. What you don't want is the Bo Nix of the world who checks down to the under throw every single time.
Yeah.
But there has to be some sort of like balance here, which I don't think they found balance at all.
There's a game management element for every quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And game manager is such a negative term now, right? That means you're a person that cannot win your team a game.
Yeah.
You're just going to manage it and let everybody else do the winning. There has to be a game management element for every quarterback. And I don't think it's been there for Purdy this year. 6 touchdowns to 4 interceptions is bad.
Oh no, it's bad.
That is a bad ratio.
Mm-hmm.
He's fumbled a couple times, and I think a lot of it has to do with he's creating pressure for himself, or he's putting himself in these precarious spots where he has to go run around because he's not just taking the short. Kyle Juszczyk, to your point on the targets, Kyle Juszczyk has 10 targets this year. Jordan Mason has 8. And then it's Debo 27, Kittle 29, Jennings 31, Ayuk 37.
Where is McCaffrey through 5 games last year? I mean, I think that's where I feel like you took away his security blanket.
Right.
And it's tough. He's trying to adapt, but you took away his security blanket. And, oh, by the way, his other security blanket decided to mess around and not show up to camp and not play in camp. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, by the way, his other security blanket got hurt in week 2 and didn't play. And so did the other guy. And Debo and Kittle both sat out a week. So you really haven't had like his full arsenal. And I think he's done a good job of finding guys like Juwan Jennings and bringing him up, finding a guy like Brandon Ayuk finally and getting him going. But you still don't have a security blanket in McCaffrey.
This is where I go, okay, that's fine. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But find a new one.
Get over it.
Figure it out. You're 5 weeks in it. You had a whole training camp.
Yep.
Figure it out. There's no way that removing Christian McCaffrey makes Brock Purdy go, hey, I'm just going to be super reckless with the ball down the field now. Through 5 games last year, by the way, Christian McCaffrey, 24 targets, 20 catches, 168 yards and a touchdown. 24 targets, which would have made him, what, third on the team?
Yeah.
This year?
Through 5 games, he had 24 targets, and through 5 games, you're looking at 19. How many did Juszczyk have over that same time?
Last year?
Yep.
Ooh, I don't know. Let me get to this year. So 24 targets. Juszczyk and Mason combined this year have 18.
Okay.
And Christian McCaffrey had 24 through 5 weeks last year. Kyle Juszczyk last season at this time. Not super involved in the passing game through 5 weeks. Okay. 5 targets.
5 targets, but you're saying he has 8 so far this year, mm-hmm. which means he only has 3 less than last year. And so what we're looking
3 more.
At... 3 more than last year. So what we're looking 5 at more? Basically is Mason. No, 5 versus 8. You said 5 last year, 8
5
this year.
5 for Juszczyk last year, 10 this year.
Oh, he's got 10 this year?
Yeah, Mason has 8.
Okay, so 18 total. Yeah, so again, take out 5 of those, and so you're looking at 13 targets mm-hmm. that weren't there last year versus 24.
Mm-hmm.
That's 11 targets over 5 games. That's substantial.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they really miss McCaffrey in the passing game. And it doesn't matter. Like, when Juszczyk is in the passing game, the problem is that you know that he's in the passing game to actually catch a pass. Where yeah. in other circumstances, last year with McCaffrey, you're not sure. He's sure. the fifth option
yeah.
in a passing down.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, my whole issue with this is that's worrying to me. If you remove Christian McCaffrey and all of a sudden Brock Purdy doesn't know how to check a ball down,
yeah,
you don't have to be a check down merchant. You don't have to... You mentioned Bo Nix, where it's just check down, check down, check down.
Mm-hmm.
But take it sometimes, especially behind a bad offensive line. There's no shame in that.
Yeah.
It's like it keeps the offense moving. It eliminates negative plays. There's just too many negative plays. They got to figure it out in the red zone. There's a lot of issues that, yes, Christian McCaffrey coming back will help. But we're talking about a quarterback who's supposed to be a $60-plus million a year player and who is supposed to be the franchise quarterback for the next 10, 12, 15 years, however long.
Mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey's not going to be there all that time.
Nope.
And it's very unlikely you're going to find a player as good as him. And now it comes back to the whole discussion from the start of the year. Like, hey, if Brock Purdy needs Christian McCaffrey to be the best version of himself, are you sure you want to pay that guy?
Yeah.
And that's, like I said, they're going to pay him. He's been, for the most part, good this year.
Mm-hmm.
But if he continues making the same mistakes, and if he continues, or if the offense continues to get bogged down in the red zone without Christian McCaffrey, it's like, man, they got bigger problems, in my opinion. 916-909-1320, that's the Elk Grove Kia talk line. 916-909-1320. How you feel about the 49ers after yesterday's loss. Maybe you want to sound off on the Raiders. Maybe you want to talk about the Kings. It's all wide open today on this Monday, October 7th. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up?
Kyle, Hammer, what's up, man? It's TC. What's up with my two bros?
What's going on?
Chilling, bro. Was waiting for you to call. Go ahead.
I know. Listen, check it out. So I don't even get angry at these losses, right, because everything I always call to talk about, bro, is shining its ugly rear head. Let's get on Shanahan for a second, bro. Listen, in Brock's situation, right? I'm going to give y'all a nugget to chew on. Hey, listen, this dude destroys quarterbacks. Everybody's talking about he's a quarterback whisperer, but Jimmy G, only guys he didn't destroy was maybe Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan. But Matt Ryan was doing his own thing, slinging the ball across the field. This guy wants everything to be his way. That everybody wants to know why Brock's holding on to the ball so long, because he's trying to go through the progression that Kyle Shanahan tells him he has to go through. He can't change a play at the line. He can't throw to another guy. Shanahan,
yes, he can. Hey, TC, I don't want to stop you from cooking, but yes, he can. He can change plays at the line. Go on. I'm just trying to be factual. If we're going to put the spotlight on Kyle Shanahan, which we should, yeah. He has not been good enough. I'm just saying, Brock Purdy has all the power in the world to change a play at the line. Go ahead.
Oh, I got it. You know what, Kyle? He has to start changing. Listen, he has to grab the bull by the horns like he's been doing and change the play if he doesn't, and check out the play and get these cover zero blitzes down. But it all stands up to Kyle. Listen, Kyle, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not mm-hmm. lying. Everything has to be this guy's way, bro. And he'll turn Brock into a pumpkin if Brock's not careful, dog. That's all I got to say.
All right. Thanks, DC. Appreciate the call. Honestly, not as wild as I thought it was going to be. That was a pretty measured take from TC.
Yeah. Well, I think so, too.
Jimmy G stinks, bro. That's not Kyle Shanahan's fault. Jimmy G tore his ACL, and it was all downhill from there. We saw it with the Raiders last year. He's not that good of a player.
No, so I would agree.
I'm not putting that. But I will say, I think there is an element of this with, because Brock Purdy has talked about wanting to see the game through Kyle Shanahan's eyes. Like, he wants to know exactly, like, okay, this is what he's seeing. Here's what I'm seeing, and I want to make sure that we're always on the same page. We're always kind of seeing the same thing, and that's great.
But you can't be a pleaser, because if you're an NFL quarterback, you're the one on the field who actually is watching what's happening and seeing it unfold in front of you. Mm-hmm. And like, he at some point, he has to be his own man here.
And I think so. This is the thing, is I think the throwing the ball deep and down the field
mm-hmm.
and such, I don't think that's a Shanahan thing. I think if Purdy was doing everything exactly by the book, I think he hits George Kittle on that short route on the final interception yesterday.
Mm.
I genuinely think that. But on the other hand, like, I just don't I, I you can gripe with some of the play calling, especially you can gripe with some of the fourth down decisions, the fourth and goal from the two, not going for it. The 22 runs compared to 41 dropbacks, mm-hmm. like that's a problem to me. I'm not ready to, like, Kyle Shanahan, the entire start to the year to me is on the coaching staff and on Kyle Shanahan. I don't think Brock Purdy has been ruined or is being ruined in some way. I think they're trying to navigate an offense without their best player. But at the same time, like, you have plenty of talent and you're 5 weeks into this.
No, I agree, but I'm always, like, there are reasons, there are excuses. Like, you had Brandon Ayuk not show up to camp. You had Trent Williams not show up to camp. You had Christian McCaffrey injured all through mm-hmm. camp. And then you get into the regular season and you start to have more injuries, whether it's Kittle, whether it's mm-hmm. Debo. And so, like, look, I don't think that they've been whole the whole time. And at the end of we will judge this team after 18 weeks, 17 mm-hmm. games, but 18 weeks at, like, who they really are. And, like, are they making life very difficult for them down the road right now? Heck yeah, they are, especially losing two divisional games against bad teams. Against bad teams, man.
So bad.
And that's a problem.
We got some updates from Kyle Shanahan today, by the way. Still nothing on Talanoa Hufanga. They're still trying to figure out exactly what's going on there. Although, I don't know what they could be trying to figure out, because he got an x-ray at the stadium yesterday and they ruled him out. So I don't know what they're waiting on for an update there. Jake Moody does have a high ankle sprain. The Niners are going to work out four kickers today.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, weirdly, the fourth time in 6 years they've needed another kicker.
That's weird.
During the season. Yeah, really strange. Been a bunch of different reasons. I think one time it was COVID-related. Mm. I think Robbie Gould hurt his hamstring before a game one time. It was just an odd kind of stretch for the Niners here. But I never thought that it'd be like, man, Jake Moody going out is huge. But as long as this team's not scoring touchdowns in the red zone, that's a big loss.
Yeah.
Like, as maligned as he's been, he's missed one kick this year and he's a 52-yarder. Like, he's been...
It hurt.
Bad spot to miss. That's the thing. Is he doesn't miss a lot. Just it feels like every kick he misses is a big one. Like, it's a game winner against the Browns. It's a would have been a game sealer against the Rams.
Yeah, it's kind of on your team though in those situations. Yes. I mean, at the end of the day, your team needs to not put you in a situation where you have to hit a game winner.
Absolutely with you.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hit them though.
Yeah. They have so many bigger problems, but it's like typically in a normal year. Or when this happened in 19 or 20 or 21, you'd go, okay, well, whatever. Like, that's fine. Can they make an extra point? Cool. Like, you might be close game against Team X where you need a kick. Okay, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, hey, whoever they sign needs to be nails. They need to find somebody who's actually really good at kicking.
Well, that and they because also...
it might be the difference between sinking or their season.
They need a special teams... like group that doesn't force your kicker to go make a tackle in the middle of the field.
That's what I heard this on. I'm doing Niners post at 95.7 the game. And I saw it on the text line yesterday. People are like, what's Shanahan doing? Having his kicker go like, okay, look, there are so many things we can blame this guy for. The kicker having to run up to make a tackle. Like, that's just football.
No, I totally get that.
And his ankle got caught. Like, it's not like he just,
yeah, he dug into the turf.
Play.
Yeah. And like, look, he's not a guy who's used to tackling people. And if he did, it was in high school. It's not like he's out there running around tackling people all the time. You're the guy who's supposed to give like the ole as he's...
Yeah, you try and knock him out of bounds.
Yeah, or try to force him back inside and slow him down so someone else can tackle him.
Yeah.
Not go put a hit stick on somebody, which is what he tried to do. It was like, what is happening here?
Yeah, just full on tried to form tackle the guy.
I don't blame him for...
Salute and respect.
Yes, salute and respect. But again... Where is your special teams?
If he doesn't do that, that guy is, if he's not housing it, he's got a long return ahead of him.
It's
and
not
this
good
is right
enough.
After they get the field goal block touchdown. You're like, Niners special teams is back. Huge return. Kicker gets injured. Like, oh my God.
Hit the punter.
Brutal, dude. Yeah.
Brutal.
Just brutal. All right. Jesse Tapia is going to join us for the final segment. We're going to do mad props. It's just going to be the handoff as well. Extended handoff with Jesse Tapia today. We're going to do mad props. We're going to take a look around the NFL. And of course, if you want to call in, and chat about the Niners, Raiders, anything happening in the NFL, anything going on with the Kings, we're here for you. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Mad props. How terrible was I this week? We'll tell you next on The Insiders, ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm a mess today. That's fine. Jesse Tapia in the building, producer for D'Lo and KC. No D'Lo today, just KC. He'll take over at noon. It's just an extended handoff because Jesse's part of Mad Props now. So we're going to do some Mad Props. And then we'll just talk we'll talk some NFL. We'll talk some Kings. We'll have a good time.
It'll be me and KC today. So we got Joe in the studio one today.
Oh, this is fantastic. Thank you.
Shout out, Joe.
Thank you for letting me know. Jesse and KC coming up at noon. So it's an extended handoff today. Want to remind everybody real quick, if you're coming to the Odyssey Studios here in Roseville to pick up your tickets or passes for Aftershock this weekend, please stop by and buy a package of, or excuse me, please stop and buy a package of socks to put in our Socktober barrel. The socks will be distributed by the Gathering Inn to people in need. May not seem like it now, but soon it's going to be wet and cold outside. Having warm, dry feet can make all the difference to a person exposed to the elements. You can also bring socks anytime, so you don't have to be picking up Aftershock tickets. We would love to have you stop by and bring some socks. Monday to Friday, we're open 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. To the Odyssey Studios here at 3010 Lava Ridge Court. We're in Suite 220 out here in Roseville. It's a really cool cause that the Gathering Inn does every single year. Had a ton of success with it last year. So we'd really appreciate it if people could drop by our studios here and drop off some socks.
Clean socks.
Clean socks, new in the package.
Yep.
Not your old dirty socks.
I don't want your lucky socks from the whatever World Series or whatever.
Yeah.
Some clean socks, please.
There's definitely some other socks I don't want.
We don't want Kurt Schilling sock.
No, that's in the Hall of Fame right now. With the
If you want to bring Kurt Schilling sock, I think we could...
Fake blood on it and everything.
That'd be a solid donation. We can make some money off of that.
We can burn it.
Did you steal this from the? Did you get this in a heist?
Don't worry about it.
I've actually seen it. Seen it at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's just there. It's got the.
It just looks like someone took a marker to a sock.
You can see the.
It does not look like blood at all.
It's not. They've sponsored. It is the bloody sock, bloody in quotes, sponsored by Sharpie.
Yes.
Hey,
Crayola. What's up, Kyle? What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Well, you know what? I'm doing better than I did at Mad Props this week.
It's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
You know, real quick, it must be nice to have Joe in the studio for you.
It's always good to have Joe. Like, Joe's is always good working a lot.
Yeah, no, Joe's good vibes. Joe's a good hang, for sure. But no, that's really cool that you get him during your show.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Must be nice.
You know, it's also cool they get Jesse when it's just the two of them in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Charlie, are you listening?
Producer live.
So Charlie, are you listening?
Charlie. Aaron, anybody.
Can we get a producer?
Higher up. Are you listening?
Anyone that listened to me butcher this show today on the board, are you listening?
Not subtle.
All right. We did Mad Props last week. We take the Raider game, Niner game, pick two stats, kind of match them up and see which one will be higher. Brock Purdy passing yards or Raiders total yards. We all went with the Purdy passing yards. Not only did Brock Purdy have a bad day, The Raiders had a decent day offensively. 330 total yards for them. 244 passing yards for Brock Purdy. We all caught an L there,
I guess.
It's a tough way to go.
Whatever, man. Whatever. What do you want me to say?
Quality take from Jesse.
What do you want me to say, bro? Like, the Raiders, I don't even want to say the Raiders had a decent day of offense. They benched their quarterback and all that.
Yeah,
now it's just not looking great.
The interception on the goal line was tough. I feel like we should all get a W for that.
Exactly.
Just for that.
Yeah,
mulligan the spirit is right. Yes. The spirit is right. No, I can't even say that, though, because I didn't think Brock Purdy was good yesterday either.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
There's L's across the board. All right. Number two. 49ers Cardinals totals or Jacoby Myers receiving yards. I rocked with the 49ers Cardinals total. I thought it would be a high scoring game. It was not that high scoring. 47 total points. You guys went with Jacoby Myers, and that was the right choice. He had 72 receiving yards. That is a big win for both of you guys.
It's right where we thought he would be.
Yeah, I think I said 75 last week, too.
Yeah.
Way off.
The Raiders insider over here.
As if.
No Devontae Adams. We'll get to Brock Bowers here in a second, but that was just that was a right pick. I need to stop doing things for the sake of the bit.
Yeah, man, we got standings now. This is real. Real life.
Spoiler alert: I'm sub 500 for the year now. You'll notice I lost the first two. You're gonna see a trend. 49ers punts or Raiders sacks? We all said Raiders Raiders sacks, and we were all correct. The 49ers punted once. The Raiders had three sacks, including two. For Max Crosby, who returned yesterday, he continues to be dominant off the edge. For the silver and black, we all get a W there. Jordan Mason touches or Raiders total points. Jesse, you and I thought Jordan Mason touches.
Yes.
Would clear Raiders total points. James, he said, no, the Raiders are going to clear Jordan Mason touches with their total points. The Raiders did it. 18-15.
Yes.
18 total points. If you had told me that the Raiders are going to score 18 points, I'd have been like, Jordan Mason's going to have 22 carries.
Exactly.
Like, that's
It was a surefire bet. It was a lock.
There's no such thing as a lock.
Disagree.
Not
the day after.
You learned that this week. James gets a W. Jesse and I take an L on that one. Number five, Nick Bosa pressures as per Pro Football Focus or Brock Bowers targets. I went with, we all went Brock Bowers targets.
Oh,
I've messed this up.
Oh, no.
We all went Brock Bowers targets, and we all got a W.
Yep.
We all got a W on that one. Brock Bowers, 12 targets, 2 pressures for Nick Bosa. It's not going to get it done.
Yeah, no. Not good enough.
Not good enough from Nick Bosa. So my day wasn't as disastrous as I thought. I'll have to figure out the math. Here's we go. In the final one, Kyler Murray rushing yards or Bo Nix pass attempts. You tried to talk me out, Jesse. You tried to talk me out of the Bo Nix pass attempts.
Bro, I'm pretty sure we cleared that like in the first.
The first carry of the game for Kyler Murray goes for 50 yards. Spoiler alert, Bo Nix did not put the ball in the air 50 times. He put it in the air 27 times. Even if you take out the 50-yard rush from Kyler Murray, he still cleared the Bo Nix pass attempts. 83-27 is the final there. You guys get the W. I take the L because I thought...
I tried to be a good friend and let you know.
No, you did.
We tried to tell
you
him.
You did. No, you were right. And I think I acknowledged at the time you were right. But I'd already committed.
For the sake of the bit.
For the sake of the bit, you know.
5-1, baby. 5-1.
That's a 5-1. That's a really nice week for you, James. Jesse, you went 4-2.
It's consistent. We like being above 500. Yeah. We're going to make our run at the end.
So I went 2-4, so I need to change this. I need to give myself one more win and one fewer L. I'm still above 500, but now way back of both you guys. James, you're 18-9-3 in the lead. Jesse, 11-6-1. I am 14-13-3.
Mm.
Yuck.
It's not looking good. Need to pick it up like those San Francisco 49ers, huh?
Well, hey, not everybody can gut out a win like those pesky Miami Dolphins.
Hey, the mighty New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Coming off a dynasty.
We did. Kyle was brilliant in picking up the New England Patriots defense in our fantasy league.
Yeah, that was big time.
Oh, the offense is still disgusting, but we'll take wins when we can get them.
Yeah. This is okay, and this is perfect, actually. This is the difference. This is the Miami Dolphins right now are starting Tyler Huntley, who apparently goes by Snoop.
Yes, that's correct.
I never knew that about Tyler Huntley until this year.
I think you got that nickname at Utah.
Oh, okay. Cool. So Tyler Snoop Huntley. Is their quarterback right now. they're just they are just trying to navigate until Tua gets back.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just scratch and claw and get wins? It doesn't matter how it looks. Style points do not matter. Am I right?
That's correct.
You will take 15-6.
Literal scoring drive. They ran the ball, I think, about 12 times, it looked like. Didn't even throw the ball.
Yep.
But it worked.
It worked. The defense did enough. They win that game 15-6. They hold on at the end. That, to me, is so much different than where the 49ers are at. Where everyone's like, you take a win however you can get it. And it's like, nah, that's not where I'm at. And, I mean, frankly, now it is. Because they're just not that good. They need to start stacking wins somehow until they can. Because look, here's the issue that the 49ers run into. If the Dolphins season gets derailed by Tua's injury, it's like, well, what are you going to do? Like, starting quarterback got hurt. This is typically what happens.
Mm-hmm.
The Niners have not had that issue. But they're in a space now where if you fall to 2-5, 2-6, it doesn't matter how well you're going to play down the stretch.
You're done at that point.
You're just toast. Like, you're not, you can win out and go 11-6. Okay, yeah, sure. But what are the odds they're going to win out with their schedule? Like, really low.
The thing that, like, is just the biggest issue with the 49ers, I feel like, is that they're not, like, just scratching and clawing all game. They were up 23-10 going into the second half.
Yes.
Like, I literally watched in the first half, I was like, oh, the 49ers are back. Like, they're playing good football. They're back. They figured it out. And it's just like, oh, no, this is the Rams game all over again.
It was almost verbatim the Rams game. And I don't understand how you let that happen twice in the season. Happens once, okay. Weird stuff happens. You go, you adjust, you make sure it doesn't happen. But then it happens again 2 weeks later? That's what I don't... That's why when TC calls in and is like, this is on Kyle Shanahan, it's like, hey, it kind of is.
It's not wrong.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really, really strange that the 49ers are 2-3. The Dolphins are 2-3.
Yeah, the Dolphins have looked like one of the worst teams in the league. And I was thinking about that this morning, too. It's like, yeah, they're both kind of same record or whatever. Just both kind of just different seasons, though, that they've had so far to get to that point.
And the same with the Raiders. Raiders are 2-3. And, I mean, like, we think that, like, an abject failure for the Dolphins because of the Tua situation. Mm-hmm. The Raiders, just, like, straight up, they're just not very good.
Yeah, no, it's tough. Antonio Pierce, good luck, bro.
But then you have the 49ers who have the same exact record. So maybe they're not good either.
The 49ers are in 14th place in the NFC right now. They don't have tiebreakers over the Giants or the Cardinals.
Hmm.
They are ahead of the Los Angeles Rams, who are 1-4, whose lone win came against the 49ers. And they're ahead of the Panthers.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. But
it's just, go ahead.
Sorry. The division, the NFC West isn't scary enough to where I'm just so concerned about the 49ers right now.
And that's the frustrating part. If the 49ers beat Seattle on Thursday, they are your division leaders. But at the same time, when you're trying to project out, and this is why this is so tough, right? Because you're trying not to overreact week by week, but at the same time, that's all you have to go off of. And so could the 49ers win on Thursday and be leading the division? You split with the Chiefs and Cowboys and you're like, okay, you're in an okay spot going out of the bye week. Like, yeah, for sure. But there's been nothing through 5 weeks that makes me think they're going to go into Seattle on a short week and just win that game.
Yeah, I'm not feeling too confident about the 49ers right now either, going into that game at least.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we talked about it before. Like, those games are always tough, especially in Seattle.
Yeah.
I think it's tough, too, when you look at the NFC West. Like, the 49ers just have so much more talent than Seattle, than Arizona, than the Rams.
They're losing games they're supposed to beat, like, win. Like, the Cardinals and the Rams aren't these world beaters or anything like that. If you're the 49ers and you have Super Bowl aspirations, you're supposed to be these contenders. You're supposed to, like, you need to take care of these games.
Well, that, and you had leads in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the problem. You had the win, and you gave it away. And, I mean, not to take anything away from the Cardinals or the Rams, but, like, those are games that a good team or a great team that you should be, you finish them off.
Well, yeah, they were in right? control, like, give credit to the Cardinals and all that. Like, yeah, you have to play football, come back and all that. But the 49ers were in control. There's no reason why they should have lost that game.
But this is a trend. Let's go to the Vikings game, right? The Niners score a touchdown to make it a 20-17 game. Vikings lead.
Mm.
No, I'm sorry. That's not right. It was going to be 20 to... They're going to make it a one-score game. And let's see. What the Jordan Mason, 20-14. Okay. That was a 10-16 to go in the fourth quarter. The 49ers now need a stop. They need one stop. and then they can get the ball back, and a touchdown gives them the lead. Instead, they give up a 6 minute and 46, 14 play, 62 yard field goal drive that puts the game away. Against the Rams, in one stop. Can't get it at any point in the game. Yesterday, against the Rams, against the Cardinals. Okay, Jordan Mason fumbles, okay, but you get a stop, game's over. Nope, no stop. That's why this goes beyond just, okay, a little bit of a slow start. It's because it's not one thing. It's they can't score touchdowns and they can't get stops.
Mm. Yeah, we're on.
And they stink on special teams.
4 weeks of them. Oh, yeah, Niners can't finish in the red zone still.
Yeah. 40.9%. That is abominable. They get to the 20 and just, red zone. Red means stop. Call it the green zone.
Did it get under anybody else's skin that Tom Brady kept calling it the red area?
Oh, no, it's just football guy terms.
The all-time.
Oh, yeah. If Tom Brady calls it the red area, so will I.
Now we change it. We change it. It's no longer the red zone. Like, it's going to be the red area channel. Dude. We're all going to watch red area channel.
Good enough for Tom Brady. It's good enough for me.
Facts. Facts. That's the football guy term for the red zone. Tom Brady yesterday is the first time I've gotten to, like, sit down and listen to him call a game. And it's so funny because you see him trying to kind of find his way on timing and cadence and all this. Trying not to sound too much like a broadcaster. But it's really clear that his talent coach or whoever at Fox got in his ear and was like, hey, you need to exude more excitement.
Oh.
Like, you need to be... And the way he does that, instead of, like, getting animated with his voice and talking like this, doing the Tony Romo thing, he just goes, oh!
There's
oh! Like, Tom.
Hey, be cool, bro.
Hey, this is not it. This is not, just chill, dog.
Relax.
He's trying.
He is. He's figuring. It's his fourth, fifth game.
Yeah.
He's doing okay. I didn't think it was terrible.
I think he'll get better. I think, you know, like, again, Tony Romo kind of messed it up for everybody. He just walked in and started calling every single play. Mm-hmm. And then it got old, like, very quickly. It's like,
Tony Romo's on fraud watch.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to hear him anymore.
Real quick, I was watching Dolphins Patriots yesterday, of course, but Mark Sanchez is like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a run to the left right here. All nonchalant. It's not even close to that. Just completely got it wrong.
I don't know what's going on with Sanchez. He's not good.
No. He wasn't even like biased towards one team or the other, but I was watching the game with my dad, like, this guy's just really annoying. Like, yeah. It's not even his fault. He's just not good to listen to.
I feel so bad for Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen's so freaking good.
Yeah.
And he just gets punted to the second team for Tom Brady.
Greg Olsen won awards last year, I think.
Yeah, dude. Greg Olsen's really freaking good.
No, I think so too.
And then you got Tom Brady out there. Oh, God.
Tom's a 5-yard run.
Go work with Adam Amin for a minute. Like, come on, man. You got to work your way up to the Kevin Burkhardt chair.
Yeah, that's absolutely wild.
Real quick, back to the 49ers. I'm not too concerned about the division just yet or anything like that. But if we're talking Super Bowls and everything at the end of the season, I'm not feeling great about them.
I don't know how you can put them in that conversation right now.
I think you keep them there just because.
No.
Hear me out. Just because they've been there, whatever, and they
but
come
this isn't
postseason.
The same team, dude.
I know, and that's kind of all I'm holding on to at this point. Because like, I think they're going to be good. I think they'll win the division still. But it's kind of like, how can I pick you against the Lions or any of those teams right now? Like, you're not what you were the last few seasons on a tier of your own or anything like that.
Well, it's like the Vikings and the Lions, and then everybody else is kind of like you're okay with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm excited to watch the NFC South, which is weird.
Yeah, it's a fun division.
I'm not even sure the 49ers could be like an NFC South team in the playoffs.
Okay, that's what I was going to do. Sorry, James.
That's fine.
Let's say the 49ers are the 7 seed. Do you trust them to go into Washington and win right now?
Yeah, I still think. I mean, you're looking at a rookie quarterback who looks phenomenal right now.
If we're doing the context of them being a 7th seed, then I think things continue to go wrong for the 49ers, and if Washington just stays the second seed, then that's a pretty good football team. I'd stick with Washington.
Would you bet $1,000 on the 49ers going into Washington and winning that game?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, what about Atlanta?
Yeah.
Seattle?
Yes.
Yeah, I still like the 49ers over Seattle.
Detroit?
Not right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm taking Detroit.
Chicago?
No, Niners.
Yeah, give me Niners.
Tampa Bay?
Niners.
Give me the Bucks.
I don't.
That's a coin flip. Tampa,
yeah, I'll take the Bucks right now. I'll give the Bucks respect. You have to take the Bucks right now, Phil.
Dallas?
Okay.
Let's stick with this.
Can we stick with Dallas real quick?
Yeah.
Like, for as bad as maybe I've talked about them or whatever, just how they've looked, like, that's another team. They're 3-2. They figured it out in a way where it's just kind of like they don't look good, but
they're piecing together wins. Yeah. They're putting themselves
in
position.
Bad all night and
they
then
were,
won.
They were
which is something.
All that matters is wins.
Yeah.
Ideally at the end of the day.
Like if you are a team that's going to start playing your best football in November and December, you have to stack some kind of wins early on.
No, totally. But I would also make the argument that if Moody doesn't hurt his ankle, the 49ers win that game and we're not even, like, I don't even think it's close. I mean.
Oh, it's.
I mean, okay, it might have been close, but they would have had at least two more field goals.
And they still, their defense still stinks and they would still be bad in the red zone.
Yeah.
Even which losing is, Moody.
Or the red area.
You're right. The red area. Yeah. Sorry.
There's no reason to lose that game still, I feel. But yeah, with Dallas and the 49ers, I think that's a coin flip at this point.
Jordan Mason doesn't fumble, and they go in and score on that possession, whether it's a chip shot field goal for Mitch Wishnowsky or a touchdown. Then they win that game. But dude, that's kind of the problem, is they keep making these little mistakes, and that's why I turn to the head coach. It's like, dude, these guys just do not. How is it not? I'm gonna whatever. I'm scared to talk on the show now.
Are you cussed today or something?
No, I'm gonna. How is it not? I'm trying to convey. How is it not told to Jordan Mason over and over and over and over again? Hey, in this spot, don't fumble. Ball security matters so much in this spot. Like, you cannot lose the football in the red area. Football guy.
Yeah.
Like, how is that not? How is he like that? That to me, and again, players play, and Kyle Shanahan and. Or Bobby Turner, like, they didn't fumble the football, obviously. But, like, dude, that to me is, like, the little coaching points that matter a lot that have gone against the 49ers time and time again this year.
I'm not going to put that one on Shanahan or even coaching.
It's not that, it's not that, like, specific play. It is the accumulation of mistakes.
Gotcha.
All right.
Yeah.
What do you guys got coming up?
We got 49ers. I mean, pretty much just talking about the 49ers, whether or not they're still the team that they've been and all that stuff. Rest of the NFL, and then James Hamm at 3.
Really?
Right. James, do it again tomorrow. We're the Insiders. Be here at 10 a.m. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Casey and Jesse coming up next. No D-Lo today on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. James and I back at 10 tomorrow. Until then, drink water. Be nice to people. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.